Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we are so thankful to be here. And only you know, Lord, our hearts. And so we come before you in Jesus' name and open our hearts to you this morning. So, Father, we pray that you would be with us and keep us and help us to understand what the bride is to understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning we're going to take number 96. And this will be number 29 in our series on twins. And it'll be Identifiable Characteristics, Part 18. So I think we've exhausted pretty much our understanding of this subject. But we want to know this, that the seed of God will know the two spirits, and yet they will not be deceived. And forgive me, I'm putting a marble in my mouth every so often. It helps my language. So, anyway, in the book of Matthew we read, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy parousia and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, or I am anointed, and shall deceive many. Now, this is an age, and notice the very first thing they said is, what will be the time, what will it be like at the time of thy parousia? And he said, it'll be a time of deception. It will be an age of deception. There will be a deception in politics, in the media, in our health care, in our government. You know, Brother Peter sent me a thing this morning. I can't say the words, but it happens to do with the thing that, you know, has been popular for the last couple of years with the government. And it showed all these people in body bags, and they were smoking cigarettes and everything else. It was all staged. And the government stages these things to deceive you and to make you fear. Well, we know one thing, that if you have the Holy Ghost, you don't have fear, because perfect love casts out all fear. So anyway, and God is love. So so there'll be deceptions in politics, in media, healthcare, in government, in your state, your local, and your federal. In our education system, from grade 1 through 16, it's the devil's grades. It's the devil's education. So, you know, you're best off homeschooling your kids, because, or at least put them in a good Christian school, because what they learn today in school is terrible. And in every aspect of our livelihood, in the air that we breathe, in the water that we drink, in the foods we eat, and in fact, the Bible warns us that unless the Lord shorten the days, no flesh shall be saved. So we see that in Mark 13 and 20, and except the Lord has shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, that's you, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the day. So, you know, I just got a thing also this morning from Brother James, and they are now predicting that on Tuesday the five planets will align, Mars and Venus and et cetera. And Brother Brown actually mentions, I didn't bring my phone out with me, but anyway, so it's beginning to be seen in the skies now as of Friday, and it'll be at its brightest point on Tuesday, and it'll be in alignment. So, you know, we're looking at, number one, this, okay, that's something that, you know, he mentions an end time scene. It's unfolding. Brother Branham's birthday is the first day of Pentecost this year. Now, Pentecost, as you know, happened, the first one happened when the angel of death passed over Israel. And then many times in the Bible, certain great events took place on the day of Pentecost, including the day of Pentecost. You know, in the New Testament, when the Lord divided his spirit. And then Brother Branham's birthday, of course, is the first day of Pentecost this year. So that's another thing. Then we find May 17th, Brother Bram said that on May 17th, the Noah entered the ark. So, you know, that gives us something to look forward to, entering the ark. I'm sure we're all in the process of doing that. So anyway, so we have a lot of things. And when I finish this series on twins, and then next week we're going to look at the same word that they read, the same tapes that they listen to, they are listening in a seed form. We are listening for a manifestation. In other words, we are looking for the things that he says to be in a harvest-ready mode, versus they are looking at things and, oh, well, that's a coincidence. We, you know, and they might see some things, but they're not looking for them. And so we are looking for the harvest of every word, because you see, God's words are a seed. And so in this Bible, you have thousands and thousands and thousands of seeds, and every one of them are becoming a reality. You know, it's interesting that Jesus himself fulfilled like 300 and some scriptures in the last 4 hours of his living. So, you know, it's, and Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Well, we're also seeing other things like they'll be boarding up the houses and this and that, and this and that. We've already seen that. I mean, in China, they actually took a welding machine and they welded their door shut so they couldn't break out of their house. And so, you know, we've seen all of this happen. You know, there's an Old Testament proverb, it says that Damascus is in ruins, and we've seen it. I've got pictures of it, and we'll show it to you when we get to that part of the end time scenes. So we're going to take, we're going to go into end time scenes after we do the same word. And then after, of course, our Easter service, we'll start the probably at least a dozen sermons on the end time scenes, just so that you people are looking for these things. Because if you're not looking for them, it won't happen for you. It'll happen, but not for you. And he said, you know, to them that look for him, shall he appear the second time. So anyway, so I hope you're all looking for him now. Okay, so in Mark 13:20, and except that the Lord has shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. Now Matthew 24:22, and except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. Why is that? Well, because it's in your water, it's in your air, it's in your food. You know, they're actually putting into tomatoes and other products like fruits, like bananas. They're injecting them with all kinds of things. And they say, well, we're doing it for the sake of the people. No, they're doing it for the sake of them, because they're trying to kill off the people. But anyway, that's what's happening. And so you can't stand too much of it. You know, we think I'm a Superman. Well, I can tell you right now, we are not. I mean, I've been through it, and I've been to the greatest trial of my life. And I tell you what, we are not Superman. We are not a super race, although Brother Bram said we are in a way, but as long as we're in the body of this death, Satan has his attack on us. So, all right. And then, of course, Matthew 24:24 says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Well, the question is, why cannot the elect be deceived? Not because the elect has the Holy Ghost and is focused on the Holy Ghost. No, the elect does have the Holy Ghost, but she is focused on the Word, and only the Word. I don't care what happens in the world. If they can have 10,000 revivals and you think everything is popping, 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 it's only fulfilling Scripture that says that he shall reign, put his reign on the just and the unjust, and at the end time he pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. So that's all you're looking at. Now, from things that are to be, he said, now there will be a false anointed ones in the last days, not false Jesuses. It's important that we understand. He's talking about anointed. They could be sitting in the pew with you, anointed. They could be sitting in the church with you, anointed. But they've got a wrong doctrine. So it comes down to the Word and the Word only. All right? Now, and there will be false anointed ones in the last days, not false Jesus. They wouldn't stand for that, but false anointed. And they are anointed, yes, sir, but But, they say they are Antichrist. They are anointed with the Spirit to do the signs and wonders that Christ did, but won't line up with his word. Many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, haven't I prophesied and cast out devils in your name? Guess what? And he says, you know what? I'm the word, and I never knew you. You don't have nothing to do with me. You know, you might like the anointing. That's fine. But you know what? The wheat and the tares both lifted up their hands and praised God for the rain that he sent them. So he'll say, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. I was a Pentecostal Lord. I think we all know what that is. Glory to God. I shouted. That's the Methodist. I spoke with tongues. I laid hands on the sick and healed them and cast out devils. And he says, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. See what I mean? The problem is when we talk about false anointed ones, they are false because they have a false word. Now, people want to say that, well, you know, that's why we don't believe in a fivefold ministry, because they're false anointed ones. No, you are false anointed ones for saying that, for taking out the word. When God placed it in the word, he said in Ephesians chapter 4 that he has placed them in the church. And he will not take them out until what? Until we all come in the unity of the faith. So they are there, and anybody who takes them out is guilty of being a false anointed one. Doesn't make them a preacher. It could be in the laity, could be in the pews, but they don't believe all the word, okay? So he'll say, depart from me, you that work iniquity, I never knew you. I was Pentecostal, Lord, God, glory to God. I shouted, I spoke with tongues, I laid hands on the sick and healed, cast out devils. And he says, depart from me, I, the word, never knew you. See what I mean? The problem is when we talk about false anointed ones, they are false because they have a false word, not because they have a false anointing. They have the genuine Holy Ghost upon their flesh, but yet a word, a wrong word, so they are false. That's what makes them false, falsely anointed ones, not ministers, but laity also anointed with false to the word. Or but false to the word. Now, from trying to do God a service, he says, now notice this now. David thought he had everything in order. And I'm going to read you some scriptures, some quote, actually quotes from the prophet that will really shock you this morning. So just bear with me. And he was inspired. See how the Holy Spirit can anoint a man. But it's got to be in the order of the anointing. The outside spirit can be anointed with the Holy Ghost and the soul as dark as pitch. You know, we have, I know people who, glory to God, I knew when I received the Holy Ghost because I spoke in tongues, and yet the man's a fornicator and an adulterer. So don't tell me he has Holy Ghost. All right. By their fruits, you'll know them. All right. The cockabur grows on the same water, that builds or puts life into the weed, but life is also put into the cockabur. But at the bottom of the cockabur, it's a cockabur life. It's rejoicing and blooming and God of life and doing everything that the wheat does, but the soul of it is cockabur. See, false teachers can rise, teaching all kind of Trinitarian and everything else, and be anointed with the Holy Ghost and perform as many miracles as a true gospel can. But by the word here, that does it. That's what does it. See what I mean? You see, why was Brother Vail such an adamant believer in this word? Because, like he said, I don't care if there's a man who gets genuine results and he prays for the sick, and he says, if you go to them, you're wrong. You are wrong. It's this word. The word should heal you. All right? Now, I used to wonder, you know, why he was so adamant that way, and I see it. Plainly, I see it. Because if you stand anything but for this word, you are wrong. Okay? Now, from Turn on the Light, he said, now, no life can come outside of light. Light produces life. So, see, this Abernathy, or whatever they call it, thing, if there's no word there, there's no life. So you're just getting rain that's falling on a bunch of tares, and you say, oh, I should go down and check it out. No, you shouldn't. You should stay away from there. You have no right. The Bible calls us separators, not joiners. We don't join up with anything. All right. Light produces life. Light. Light. What is light? It's the Holy Ghost upon the Word. It produces life. There can be no life outside of outside of light, natural or spiritual. There must be, and only light can come by the Word of God. God's Word is a light when it is manifested. I didn't hear any word coming out of this so-called revival. It was just a revival of the Spirit, and it's happening in many, many cities around the nation. It's just a seed laying there here, as God planted all the seeds. Our bodies was on the earth before the world. Before there was any light here, any life here, or anything else, the calcium, potash, petroleum, and cosmic light, whatever it was here when God created the earth. It had only taken his spoken word to bring it into existence, just like it did botany life or tree life or whatever life there is to be. You see, in Genesis 1, it says God placed all the seeds in the earth. Well, aren't you and I a seed? We were placed here at the very foundations of the earth. And isn't it interesting that in this hour, every single seed of God is beginning to bloom, is beginning to manifest. Now, we've seen it with Brother Branham, of course, Malachi 4, but we also saw it in his day with Jerusalem, Israel, becoming a nation, and all these things. But that was just a start. You see, a harvest period, it comes, and you take a sampling, and if the sampling is ready, then the whole field will be ready. And if it's not, then you have to wait a couple of weeks, and then you take a sampling again, and then you have a harvest. Well, I believe Brother Branham was the first fruit of the harvest for this generation, just like Jesus was the first fruit in his generation. I believe that, you know, he lived the life so much like Christ that people thought he was. I just wish for every one of us that we would be the same. All right. Now, from things that are to be, he said, you still go to the church. You might still dance in the Spirit, and you might speak with tongues. And them things are fine, but that's not what I'm talking about. He says, that's not it yet. No, sir. Remember, the Bible said, in the last days there shall come false Christs, not false Jesuses. They wouldn't stand it still for that, but false Christs, false anointed ones. They're absolutely anointed with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, and still false. See? Now, see, he didn't mention ministers there at all. He mentioned people. Okay, they've got the anointing on them, the same anointing, but you see, it's on their flesh, it's not in their soul. If their soul has a germ of God, it'll bring the Word to life. They will see the Word manifest. That's why they can read the same sermons, they can hear the same tapes, and it means nothing to them, and they go off and they do the same old sinful things that they were doing before because it doesn't change them. All right? Now, it comes down to that germ. Okay? It comes down to this word. Either it's good enough or it isn't. So many running after fake revivals. What are they revived from? They haven't got the word, so what do they have? You can be baptized with a genuine Holy Ghost every hour of your life and still go to hell. So we saw a lot of people on their road to hell. And I'm not saying they're going to hell. I'm just saying they're on the road because their doctrine is wrong. They don't hold to the word. They're holding to an experience, okay? And that is thus saith the Lord. So it comes down to this word, brother, sister. Do you believe this word? That's all it is. From leadership, he said, the choice of your conduct, you can't mix it now. You're either for God or against God, and the outward expression shows what's on the inside. See, the cockaburr may, many of you think, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to heaven. That don't mean one thing that you're going to heaven. No, sir, you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every hour in your life and still lost and go to hell. The Bible says so. See, it's exactly right. So if the Bible says so, we should be able to find it in the Bible. You know, I mean, he says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and I have not love, it profits me nothing. What is love? God. All right. So though I can give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. What is love? God. In fact, it doesn't even say God. Love. It says charity. So you see, in other words, God kind of cloaks it because your giving is an attribute, I should say. You know, God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. He gave the greatest thing, which was great for him. He gave that to you and I. Okay. So that don't mean one thing that you're going to have, no, sir. You can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every hour in your life and still be lost and go to hell. The Bible says so. See, that's exactly right. So our teaching the children shouldn't be as much as get the Holy Ghost as get the Word. Because if you get the Word, you will get the Holy Ghost. Now, I remember having this conversation with a brother, and he said, I can't believe Brother Vail is, you know, he's so crusty there's so much Word coming forth, but so little Spirit. And I thought, wow. I said, listen. When John heard the voice, what did he do? He turned to look at what? At the Word, at the light. Excuse me, at the light. So Brother Vail had that light, had that Word, the light, and we have the light, the Word. Now, I remember the first night in 79, I went and stayed with him, and I said, well, Brother Vail, I said, Brother, what do you think of Brother so-and-so? And he said, well, he's an ass. And I said, oof, okay, so what kind of A-S? S are you saying? Because I wouldn't say the Word. I was too holy. And he said, well, an ass has an ass. It just depends on which end you're looking at. And I, oh, man, this guy's. And I went to bed, and I just thought, Lord, show me, because I don't know. This man is really, really crusty. And he said, which of my prophets weren't? And I got to thinking, wow, Elijah, what did he do? About 300 soldiers come up. He could have spared them. He didn't. He called down lightning out of heaven. Elisha, you know, kids called him old bald head, go up, old bald head, go up. And what did he do? He sicked the Holy Ghost on him, and the she-bear killed 40 of them. And, you know, just time and time again, I looked at the prophets and I said, wow. It has nothing to do with your personality. It has all to do with the Word. Can I say that again? It has nothing to do with your personality. So Brother Vail might have a rough and tough personality, but he had the Word. These other brothers have a perfect personality, lovely personality, and they are so wrong in the Word, it stinks. All right? So, you know, it's... Well, anyway, so from I have heard, and now we see, he says, Mark 14, we see a woman believed on him. She had need, and seen he had, listen, you know, like I said, it has nothing to do with your personality. You can yell and scream and do what you want. And that's fine. It has nothing to do with your salvation. But, you know, if you yell and scream and everything else, you know, a little sweetness will catch the fly a little bit better than, you know, being ornery all the time. And but your being ornery doesn't put you out. I'm sorry, it just doesn't. And holding grudges will, you know, so you just need to let go of those things. So anyway, Mark 14, we see a woman believed on him. She had need of and seen that he had need for his feet to be washed. She had only to be inspired to go into action. Now listen close, for we close. She only had to be inspired to go into action because she'd already heard about him. She heard that he forgave a woman of her sins and a harlot and said, which one of you is without sin, cast the first stone. So I'd like to ask the same. Which one of you is without sin? Cast the first stone. Come on. I'm willing to take the stoning. Cast the first stone. Now listen, Brother Vail was different from Brother Branham in that Brother Branham had such a sweet nature about him. And you know what else? He had a sweet wife. And his wife did argue with him at one time, and she got a big tumor. Brother Branham had to pray for her that God would pass that thing. And but you know, Brother Vail, you know what he did to keep his wife in line? Because she, you know, sometimes you women get mouthy. I'm sorry, but you get mouthy. And it's the spirit of the age. And you know what he did to keep her in line? He would take her great china. She loved her china. She loved porcelain things too. And he'd drop on the floor one at a time. And if she didn't stop and quit fussing and quit her actions, then he'd take another one up and drop it on the floor. I said, "You didn't do that." He said, "Yes, I did." Okay. Well, I happen to be a little different from that. I wouldn't do that to my wife, but if she's going to yell and scream, I'll yell and scream. You know, it's in other words, don't do it. Okay. Just forget it. I've learned with this stroke not to do it. Now, I'm saying though that when you do first have a stroke, this poor guy at the YMCA, he couldn't get his mouth together to speak what he wanted to say. And so the woman said to me, "You know, you should have been here. I wish you had come 3 weeks earlier." She said, "Because you see, I'll use a marble, okay? And if my mouth starts to get a little bit, you know, your tongue tie, then I put a marble in my mouth." And you'll notice, as soon as I put this marble in my mouth, my diction is just like it was before. I sound just like I did before I had my stroke. Now, why? I don't know. I went to the therapist, and they said, "No, you could swallow that. Don't do that." And I say, "Well, okay, I could use a piece of hard candy," which I got three in this pocket as well. And at least, you know, when you it dissolves, this doesn't dissolve. But I'm not going to swallow it. And if I did, so what? It's just a little marble, and it's very smooth. It'll pass through, and then you can play with it again. So anyway, I shouldn't have said that. I should have said that. But anyway, you see, we're people. We're animals, okay? We're just people. And so anyway, which of us is without sin? Okay? Now, my yelling back didn't help matters any. It just made them worse. And but my wife did not meet a Branham. I wish she was. I wish, you know, she's, "Well, I don't want you to run over me." It's not a matter of running over you. It's a matter of you just being quiet. You know, and I'm sorry to say that, but, you know, that's just who we are. And so it's just being human. But, you know, Abraham and Sarah, I mean, she spouted off to him, and, you know, she didn't believe a thing that the angel of the Lord said, and God would have killed her right there, the prophet told us, but because of Abraham, he didn't. So, you know, Job, his wife would have died the death, but you know what? God didn't touch her. Moses' wife could have died the death, but you know what? God didn't touch her. Why? Because of his prophet. So if the man of God, you know, loves his wife, which I do dearly, you know, I just pray that we would just, you know, get along knowing that God is here. And I'm not saying we don't get along, but I'm just saying, just because when I had my stroke, I was angry, quite angry. And this man at the YMCA was quite angry. And if I could taught him about just putting a marble in your mouth, maybe your diction, you think about it more. You see, and something about having something in your mouth, you have to compensate your diction. So anyway, maybe I could have spared him that. But anyway, Brother Brown continues. She heard about him, but now she's seen him. She was inspired to serve him. That's the only thing that you have to be. Let the Holy Spirit tell you you're a sinner. Let the Holy Spirit tell you you're wrong. Let the Holy Spirit prove to you by the scriptures that you're scripturally wrong. Well, where are these LGBT at? Listen, the Abernathy revival was led by several LGBTs, and they had no inclination of repenting of that. They had all, maybe I said something wrong to somebody. Maybe I offended somebody. Listen, hogwash to that. All right? It's not about offending someone. It's about the word. You give them the word test. I could give you the word test. You know, I could say things like, you know, use the word stupid, and Brother Branham used it 45 times. Oh, you say, well, he's a prophet. He's entitled to it. No, he's not entitled to it. He's not entitled to anything that I'm not entitled to. All right. The thing of it is that the word stupid means that the person knows better, but they do it anyway. Like even Einstein said that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. I think the people are more insane than they are stupid. But I use that word, and so what? The Bible uses a lot worse words, like I mentioned the word GAS the other day, and people got offended and say, you shouldn't use that word. And I said, just a minute. I said, what do you want me to say? Your righteousness is as filthy rags. You know what a filthy rag is? Well, I could explain it to you, but I won't in the presence of your sisters. But every month you have filthy rags. That's what I mean. All right. So she heard, I could say that and I'd be quoting the scripture and it's less offensive than to say that you all just smell yourself and you realize you're a human being and only God is great. So now we're going to a place and hopefully we'll never have that problem, but because we'll be in a glorified state, but what I'm saying is, as long as you're in the body of this death, you know, you're corruptible. It's corruptible flesh. But the word does not corrupt. So fill yourself with as much word as you can, and you'll be okay. Now, she heard about him, but now she's seen him. She was inspired to serve him. That's the only thing you have to be. Let the Holy Ghost tell you that you're a sinner. Let the Holy Spirit tell you you're wrong. Let the Holy Spirit prove to you by the scripture that you're scripturally wrong. And what? Because it'll only stir through one straight channel of every scripture of God. It won't bypass for nothing. If you do, it'll never do you any good. So I don't care how much repentance went on that campus. If it wasn't scriptural repentance, they are wrong. If they didn't turn to this message, they will die in their sin. I'm just saying that much. Okay? Let the Holy Spirit prove you by the scriptures that you are scripturally wrong. And what? Because it's only stir through one straight channel of every scripture of God. It won't bypass for nothing. If you do, it'll never do you any good, because the Holy Spirit can inspire it to you. But if the soul isn't right with God, as we've been through this week, it's no good anyhow. Remember, false anointed ones will rise at the last days, not Jesus's, but false Christ, which is anointed ones, will deceive the very elected if it were possible. You see, that is a challenge to you, is to look at every individual and give them the word test. Are they coming with the word? Do they believe the word? Are they standing for the word, or do they not? That's just that simple. Don't look whether, oh, he's really got an anointing upon him. He's really a sweet individual. I don't care how sweet the individual is. In God's eyes, they stink like, you know what? So, all right. So anyway, from power of transformation, but when it comes to the showdown between the word, between two prophets, one of them on the word, the other one off the word, both of them prophets, you understand, say amen, congregation says amen, one on the word and the other one off the word, both of them prophets, proven to be prophets, but one was with the word, like Ephesians 4, false anointed ones at the last day. See, one prophet, both of them prophets, one on the word, one vindicated by the word, and the other one was not vindicated by the word, Cain and Abel. So no matter who, and I'm saying an angel from heaven, says anything different than what Paul said, let him be cursed. Not, you know, so let's just leave it at that. See the two false and one and true. All right. 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, and proud, without natural affection, truth-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, and despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now listen, I just read you a whole bunch of things there. Are you thinking politicians? Every single one, they've broken. Are you thinking ministers? Well, every single one of them, they've broken. Are you thinking laity? Well, I'll tell you what, they break them too. You see, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, you know, well, you know, the poor people, we should give them a right to kill their baby because, you know, a poor person, you know, they don't want to have to go through 9 months of labor. Well, you know what? Of having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, which is churches, and lead captives, or houses, and lead captive silly women, churches, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, how do they withstand Moses? They did the same thing. You see? They did the same thing he did, but they didn't have the word. That's it. The guy comes on, he prays for the sick, he does all these wonderful things for humanity, and he doesn't have the word. All right. Silly, laden, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. What is the faith? Well, doesn't the Bible say that if you have not both the Father and the Son, you don't have life? All right. So the faith is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I live by that faith. All right. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. And thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Now, you know, Abraham, when the Lord came to him and gave him the promise, he started, you know, putting away the bird's eye, like Brother Ram said, got ready, but his wife wasn't getting ready. She didn't think, how can an old woman like me have anything? And, you know, Abraham, she talked her husband into having a relation with her servant, thinking that, well, maybe I can claim that through the servant, you know, the baby's mine. No, I'm sorry, but it just, and one act of unbelief doesn't make it, you know, another act, a righteous act. So anyway, so she was an unbeliever. And of course, God came to Abraham and he said, you know, I'm going to return you both to the time of life. Now, think about it. Just think of what happened here. Abraham, you know, the Lord said, okay, go ahead and listen to your wife this time. He listened to her and produced an enemy. Ishmael was an enemy. And finally, he had to drive her out. Now, here is a man of God, you know, at peace with himself, at peace with God, but not at peace with what his wife was doing. She was not doing the right things. She wasn't able to, but you know what? God changed her anyway. And you know what else? He was sporting with her. You know what that means? He was wrestling with her. He was having a good time. He was actually being physical. And, you know, here's the thing. Okay. One minute she's almost his enemy because she's an enemy of God. And the next minute he's making love to her. He brings forth that child. You know, just think about the long picture. Think about God's picture, not your what you want right now, what changes you want right now. Think about what God's picture is. You will spend eternity together and you will be young again. and not have the aches and pains and what goes with it. Listen, you all know when you're young, you sported with your wife and you wrestled with her and this and that. I mean, I remember calling Brother Vail and he said, "What you doing?" I said, "Wrestling with my wife." He said, "Oh," he said, "then what happens?" You know, he said, "Maybe I should teach about the birds and the bees." So anyway, that's not what caused it. But, you know, it is kind of because, you know, we love each other. We really definitely love each other. And, you know, you just have to understand that we're going to spend eternity together. And so no matter how much argument, how much fussing, how much this or that you have with your wife, it's only temporary. So ladies, be gentle, sweet. Men, don't be brute beasts. Just be nice and kind to your wife as well. So from that time, a child, from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, that means God breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. The man of God comes to perfection by the wife. Not what it says. I'm sorry, you sisters got something against him. Tell him the Scripture. Tell him what Scripture he's breaking, and he can find redemption with God. But you know what? It doesn't come from your nagging. It comes from the Word. All right? So that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished under all good works. Now, if you are a man and you think you're too much above being hearing from your wife, just tell her, "Give me Scripture, and then I can receive it from you." If you're just nagging, well, then I'm going to nag back, and maybe we're not going to have a good situation. So I think you're best off just to say, let's just open our Bibles and discuss it, you know, and then we'll be perfected. So like Brother Bram says, like on my message of the Antichrist, there shall arise false Christ. Now, he didn't say Jesus's. See, nobody would stand for it to be called Jesus in the term of the Lord, but false Christ means the anointed. Oh, each one thinks they got anointing. Glory to God, he can do this and do that, but put him on the word test and find out where he comes out at, see, on the message of the hour. So, on the message of the hour. Well, on the message of the hour, I mean, the man was kind of testing his wife and he threw the eggs even. She didn't say, "What kind of a Christian are you?" blah, blah, blah. No, she just said, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free?" You see, it's not getting back at him. It's just taking whatever comes. It's a preordained test for you. Take it as a test from him, not from your husband, from him. Take it as a test from him, and you'll give the right answer. And, of course, then when he sees that you are affected that way, he will also mellow down. And like the husband, he even repented to her because he was off. All right. So anyway, they had anointing in the time of Jesus, but not on him. They had anointing in the time of even Dathan, had anointing in the time of Moses. He said, "Now, don't you think you're the only holy one among us? God's got plenty." Well, just start an organization here, a group of men. God said to Moses, "Separate yourselves from him." He opened up the earth and swallowed them up. He gave him his original word to Moses, his prophet. That's the only way he ever did it, and the only way he will ever do it. He doesn't change his plan. And see, we don't change our plan either. That's why Wednesday nights we go back to the original source, and we listen to the prophet, and then Sundays we talk what he said, and we give doctrine for it. Okay, so he opened up the earth and swallowed them up. He gave his original word to Moses, the prophet. That's the only way. Okay, from God's provided place, or God of this evil age. trying to keep you from seeing the real meaning of the word, not what, see, he's interpreting it, saying it means this. God said, I promised in the last days, I'll send you Malachi 4. Okay. So what are we seeing? A manifested word. All right. It don't have to be interpreted. He did it. He said, as it was in the days of Lot, the world will be in the Sodom condition, and that time I will reveal the Son of Man by it exactly. How did he do it? By looking at the age that we're living in, the Sodomite condition, then you can say, okay, this has got to be the time of the revealing of the Son of Man. Now, we got all kinds of impersonations and everything else of it. We got the real one too. See, he said he would do it. He said the Antichrist would raise up and almost deceive the elected if possible. Said, but let them alone. Let them go ahead. Their folly will be found out. Now, just going to stop here and say this. The wheat and the tares are told what? I mean, the ones that planted the wheat and tares. Okay. Let them grow up together until the time of the harvest. Then I'll manifest which is a weed and which is a wheat. Then I will harvest them. We are at that time. You cannot tell me that the whole world, the whole Bibles, the whole every seed in the Bible that is supposed to be manifested is manifesting. Then also aren't we seed of God? And if we are seed of God, we are to be manifesting too. All right. So he says, why? The word test proves it. See, when you come to that word, that had been back there that way, and oh, I don't believe in serpent seed, I don't believe this or that, another, it's never been revealed to you. See, oh brother, just look where we're going to have to close because it's 12 o'clock. Okay. Now, from the next quote, he says, from God, does God ever change his mind about his word? He says, now listen closely now, when the word test came, when they went over and seen the greatest opposition they ever seen, the Amalekites, which was 10 times their size, they said, well, we look like grasshoppers. Their cities are so walled till they can run a chariot race around it, 2 chariots that as hard as they can go around the walls, see, of the city. Why, their spears are way out there. They're long, and they're giants. Why? Well, we look like grasshoppers. We can't do it. And 2 men stood on the word. Caleb and Joshua said, wait a minute. You 2 million, 4 people. I don't know what he means by that. Shut up just a minute. We are more than able to do it. See, we are more than a match for them. What was they basing it on? God said, I've given you the land. It's yours. And there they stood. But the people had gotten married off amongst other things and all kinds of creeds and rituals amongst them. And just, they just weakly wishy-washy, didn't know which way to turn and what to do. That's right. There come the word test. Now, what about in the days of the minor prophet? And he was quoting the major prophet, which was Elijah. And he said to the king, if you go up, you won't come back. And so they slapped him across the face and broke a yoke upon his neck and cast him into prison. And they said, God promises our land. Well, listen, that was like hundreds and hundreds of years later. They missed it. They were looking backwards at a word gone by for another age, and they missed it. And they said, well, God said the land is ours, so we're going to take it. And the prophet was right, and he didn't come back. And the prophet was let out of prison later. So God said, I've given you the land, it's yours. And there they stood. But the people had gotten married off, etc. So gotten wishy-washy and everything else. Well, I'm sorry, brother, sister, but you got to take the word for the day in which you live. That's it. From the Evening Messenger. Now, many, when Jesus come and brought the test and said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify in me. Could you stand the test? No. And anyone knows all confessions of rocks that can't stand the word test is thrown into the heap. It's cracked, water broke, it won't stand the test. Oh, man, then be sent to the scrap heap. God has always counted character instead of numbers. Now, I'm closing. I'm sorry I've kept you all this time. I didn't aim to do that. Let me just a moment or two make the last statement, then I'll just a minute, and I hope I had said something that would help to get you ready. See, 1 John 4:6, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Now, I could have kept this in blue for Brother Brown, but I'm not, because of scripture he's quoting. But because many false prophets are gone out into the world, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, notice the present tense, is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come, again, present tense, in the flesh, is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you heard that it should come, and even now is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. What is he speaking of? Present tense. Present tense. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, not everybody can quote that. You see, the difference between, as I said, an echo is present tense. The Holy Ghost is here. He says it, you say it. But anybody can quote the prophet. But see, it's not repeating the words of this Bible or the prophet that will get you any place. It's knowing that when you're reading it, it's alive around you right now. Otherwise, it's not the I am that you're reading. It's the I was. You see, that's the difference between you and them, is strictly not how anointed you are, but how anointed to the Word, and the Word is anointed to you, because then you see it everywhere. All right? Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth, present tense, righteousness, which is right wiseness, is rightly wise, even as he is righteous. Watch how they live. What they are teaching, is it the word for this hour or the word for another hour? Okay. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. But whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, does not initiate sin, for his seed, God's seed, remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. All present tense. Okay. Now, Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him of them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Not served him, past tense, serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between righteousness and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serveth him not. Okay. Now, just a couple more and we'll close. From Standing in the Gap. We have a lot of impersonations. We have people that get up and try to act like Christians and their lives don't compare, so there's something wrong. Jesus said, by their fruits you'll know them. See, that's how you know a Christian, by how he lives. He never jumps, so never jump any higher than you live. So then just, but it's a devil making a scarecrow to keep the real, genuine believers away from the true thing of it. But God can help us to separate and be able to discern right and wrong, and the word will always straighten that out. From conferences. And so we find that Satan always takes a type for what he's going to do off of what God has done. For instance, like many people see in the meetings, they say it's a telepathy. Oh, I was called what? Simon the Sorcerer, and something like that. See, why? When you see a spiritualist or a devil act, it's only a perversion of a real, genuine thing that God has. That's right. You see it. But men ought to know enough and spiritually enough to be able to discern between what's right and wrong. Did you ever hear of a spiritualist casting out devils and healing the sick and preaching the gospel, and by their fruits they are known? See, they got some little stand over in a corner somewhere and read the palm of your hand and guess at four or five things, and a dozen of it be wrong. And there you are. You see, it's a perversion, trying to draw people's minds out of these, away from the real, genuine Holy Spirit, where we can set together in heavenly place and Christ reveal to us what we should do. You know, I'm sorry to say it, but I have actually met self-proclaimed believers in this message who have gone to a spiritist. They've gone to a palm reader. They want to know, you know, am I going to get married again, or am I going to meet, you know, Miss Susie Q, whatever. Listen, those men are of the devil. And, you know, they should have been, when their church found out, they should have told them, you either repent of that or you're not coming back in the door. Because we're not going to have people in this church that sit on the fence and make light of the truth of God's word. You know, and, you know, all this stuff they do is just totally, totally antichrist. So anyway, discerning the body of the Lord. So Paul said to Agrippa, in the way that is called heresy, that's crazy, that's the way I worship the God of our Father. So I'm so glad tonight to join hands with him. In the way that's called fanaticism to the modern church, that's the way I worship God. They were called heretics because they didn't rightly discern the body of the Lord. That's the church of the living God. And the church tonight is called crazy because the people haven't got the discernment. If a man is born again and you tell me that you have been born again and you do not believe that divine healing is a promise of God, and you do not believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for the people today, then I'll have to say that your birth was wrong, of the wrong spirit. Because the Holy Spirit said that this promise is unto you and your children and to them that is far off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call. You are accepting it by intellectual conception. People are taking somebody else's word for it and not got the discernment. They cannot discern between righteousness and wrong, or right and wrong. Now, in closing, we come to Ezekiel 44, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern. See, if I didn't tell you the things that you hear, how are you going to know the righteous from the wrong? If I don't give you scripture for it, and if I don't tell you about it, if I don't say stay away from these revivals and stuff of the world, how would you know not to do it? I'm giving you quotes and things like that, and you should have enough word in you to walk alone with God and with his word and forget the world, what they're doing, because the world could look just as saintly and they could look just as lovely a Christian and they could have the fruits of the Spirit. And remember the woman, she was frantic because she was missing one fruit. And Brother Brown said the fruit is the teaching of the season. See, she was missing one little piece of silver. She had ten of them, and she lost it. She lost the teaching of the season. But she had the nine fruits of the Spirit, and she was afraid her husband would put her away. So she had to have that teaching of the season. And so she looked for that silver coin. You see, and so they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern. What's that mean? It means separate between the unclean and the clean. And in controversy, they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments. And they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all mine assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. So you are to judge by the word. You're not to say, well, I think that, you know, this and that and the other. No, you are to say, come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and I will be your God, and you should be my people. All right? But the people that are not the elect are incapable of discerning the real from what is false, and as we see in Matthew 16:3. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you discern the signs of the time. Now, I've shown you 84 signs and events that are associated with the parousia of Christ as taught by Jesus first, Paul, then Peter, then John, and James. All right, there's 84 events. Now, they can discern that they can discern the weather, they can discern this, they can discern that, but they can't discern that we're in the parousia. And having had 79 of the 84 events, we're at the end of the parousia. We're looking for the voice. I'm looking for the resurrection. I hope it comes in the next couple of weeks. I'm really looking for it. All right? Now, Matthew 12:56. Ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, of the earth, but how is it that you cannot discern the time? All right? And strong Hebrews, strong, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, never able to discern the two spirits, therefore are deceived and persecute true seed. Now, what does he mean by that? If you, having eaten strong meat, which I think this pulpit, Brother Bell's pulpit, were pretty strong, having eaten eaten strong meat, it brings you to full age. What does that mean? Adoption. You're getting ready for adoption and you're still not discerning. That shows that you haven't come to adoption. You come to adoption when everything in life is measured by the Word. And if it's not measured by the Word, then just leave it alone. Brother Vail said, I put eternal hell on hold for 30 years because I didn't understand it. Until Brother Bram said, how can you have eternal life, or how can you have eternal hell and live forever and not have eternal life? See, all right. Now, from Galatians 4:29, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him born after the Spirit, even so is it now. Even so is it now, 2023. Even so is it now. All right? They will persecute you for your beliefs. All right? You stand for the Word. You say, but the prophet said, and they will persecute you. All right? 2 Timothy 3. Ever learning they will be, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so shall these of reprobate minds concerning the faith. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. What are you learning? The Scriptures. That's what it's all about. 2 Peter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, if this is not ongoing right now, then I am not sitting here right now. And I am sitting here right now. So, in other words, these false anointed have come into the message. As I said last week, Jesus said, if they say he's in the west, go not forth. He said, now you people are saying, some people are saying, that there's a teaching that you have to be in Tucson to make the rapture because Brother Bram's in Tucson. He said, if you do that, you're making me an antichrist. Then we find out that they say that, well, he's in the secret chamber. And we find out that the secret chamber is a storehouse. It's the distribution center. That's what the Greek word means, distribution center. And he says, if they say he's in the distribution center, believe it not. So where is he? As the lightning lighteth from the east to the west, so shall be my presence. So God is universal, brother, sister. He is everywhere, not that his person, but that his foreknowledge, by foreknowledge, he knows what you're doing. Here and there. So, anyway. But as there were false prophets among the people, even shall there be false teachers among you. When? Now. That's why I keep warning you, it's scripture, 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 and not just a feeling. Not just, you know, I want to make it so, you know, I'm going to be nice and kind and sweet and everything else. That won't get you nowhere. Okay? Who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their, many, not few, many, in other words, they'll have a lot more people in their church and in their congregation than we have. They've got to. It says so. Many more of the children of the harlot than she which has a husband. Oh, you're saying people in the message are harlots? I didn't say it. You thought it. You thought it. You see, every time I say of sin, people will come to me and say, well, you were speaking about brother so-and-so. I said, no, I wasn't. I didn't even have them on my mind. I was saying it for the principle that sin is sin. I don't care if you got 10 people out there and I mention a particular sin. Maybe it might be 3, maybe it might be 5 that actually have that sin in their life. I don't know. Maybe just one. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. Now, finally, 2 John, for many deceivers are now entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come, present tense, in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And finally, 2 Thessalonians, let no man deceive you by any means. Let no man, that means women too, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. All right, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for these words. I just hope they strengthen your children in this last hour, and just we do nothing except we check with your word first. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.